Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on our podcast. Thanks to Distinctive Homes, designing and creating your dream home. Distinctivehomes.com.au 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, come on, Roo. Pick it up. Come on. You'll be right.
Come on.
I'm a bit worried, to be honest.
No,
but,
you'll be right. Round three.
Yeah, I know. It's
no
round
one
three.
Wins a premiership in round three.
Well, you can set one up, though, Dits. And they're not going well, the Adelaide Crows, but was still a chance in the last quarter. But the Cats were far too good. They are a well-oiled machine.
All right. We'll hear more about that later on. As you can hear in the background, thank God it's Friday.
You beauty.
The weekend is upon us.
Yeah, I need a beer. The week that was.
I'll wait till about 6:30.
Oh, I tell you what, I might have a crack later on. Limo's going to join us. We've got the pressure test today. We've got some prizes to give away. It's going to be a big show, Dits.
All right. Ruined It's here on Triple M.
Ruin Dits, top three things you need to know.
Roo, what is making news?
Christopher Pyne did his retirement speech in Parliament yesterday.
In a few weeks, my political career comes to an end. I don't have a log cabin story like so many people in this place. Although I once did have to get my own lemon for a gin and tonic, which I'm... Finally, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to thank my colleagues on all sides of the House. I once described the House of Representatives as being my natural habitat. You're all my fellow species in this unnatural place. This place brings out the best of us and it brings out the worst in us. I've seen some truly dreadful people come through here over the last quarter of a century, Mr. Speaker. That's true, though. But I've seen so many more outstanding people, Mr. Speaker, including my current colleagues. I've relished the opportunity to attempt great deeds in the one forum that in our democracy allows every Australian the chance to do so, the House of Representatives. Thank you, goodbye and good luck.
Yeah, apparently in its entirety it was a very funny speech and he did well.
Yep.
And he served for 26 years. Roo, the interesting thing is that this is how he's rated. People from the opposition came and embraced him and hugged him and thanked him. So
he's a likeable fella.
Tell us, when you were a kid, did you ever see the cartoon where they would say, morning Sam, morning Ralph, the two would clock on and then absolutely belt the bejesus out of each other for 8 hours and then they'd clock off.
Yep.
And that's what I liken it to, because I just want to share a little anecdote. I went to a function a few years ago. It was the launch of a book here.
Yep.
And two people that I'd seen in the media thrash each other daily, inside out, were sharing a beer at this function. And one said, oh, are you going back to the house? Yeah. Can you put my book on? Yeah, no worries. I'll see you back there. And it was like they were friends and all get on from other sides of politics, yet the 8 hours a day they're at work, they absolutely go hammer and tong. So it's quite interesting.
That's what it should be. That's how life should be. That's
it's interesting, the relationship between
good
parliamentarians.
Good sportsmen are like that. I think most people in any industry are like that, aren't they?
They are
respectful.
But I think when we see them
compete.
Speak in the media, we get the feeling that, oh my God, they all detest each other. They're from opposite sides and whatever. But it's often not like that, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, you're spot on, Dits. Hey, the welfare card that's been trialled over in Sejuna for, the last couple of years, might even be longer than that now. They've extended it out to 2020. Labor were talking about trying to get rid of it, but they have supported it under certain conditions at the moment. It's worked fantastically over there if you listen to most people from Sejuna. What I also do know, though, is it handballs issues to other towns, neighbouring towns. So
it makes sure that people on welfare buy the right goods with that card rather than blow it on gambling, smokes, grog. Would that be the shortest explanation?
Yeah. And if they don't want to waste it on booze and gambling and grog, they move to the next town and do that there, which is the big issue.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it should be almost statewide or something like that. So can't just handball your issues to someone else.
Yeah. That's George Best it was that said, I spent 80% of my fortune on wine, women and song and I wasted the rest.
Yes, that's right. George would have moved to the next town.
Yeah, that's right.
What about this one, Dits? They're saying trees are very valuable. Like, they're putting a very large value on big leafy green trees.
What do you mean?
Well, if you own one in your house, if they're in certain parks, if they're in suburbs, they're putting a big value on trees. For instance, the Burnside Hazelwood Park Reserve in leafy eastern suburbs are saying that the trees there are worth $8.7 million.
What?
Yes. Yeah, that's what they're saying. Yep. So
if I whack a big tree in my front yard, go.
Your house goes up in value.
Is that right?
Maybe not a gum tree that, you know, litters all over your house. Maybe it will be. Yeah. But you can understand why mature, established, beautiful trees would add value to your home.
Are there any in particular types that we should be getting?
Well, I haven't got that far into the story, did
I? Well, tell us half the story.
Well, I did
my
tell
house
you.
To go up.
Well, do some research, I'm sure it will. But I was trying to. I just gave you the lead, right, and then you can go and do your own research. Okay. Like everything we say here at Triple M, go get an expert just to qualify.
Go and hug a tree today. Go and buy a tree, put it in your front yard, and whammo.
Yep, exactly right.
All right, that's what's making news. That's half the story anyway of what's making news today here. Roo's a bit down this morning, but we understand. We'll try and lift him up before 9 o'clock. 6:14. Roo gets on Triple M. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Roo, you and I in our lifetime have heard about Parkinson's a lot.
Yep.
But I'm quite ignorant to know the ins and outs of it or whether there's a cure or those sorts of things. Glad to announce that there is a big walk, a big fundraiser coming up here in South Australia, and a real, real good friend of yours, someone close to you, is suffering from this disease right now.
Yeah, Mark Mickin, who is a great fella. He won the Crows first best and fairest. He's coached several SNFL sides. He's a Riverland fella and just one of the best blokes you'll ever meet.
You went up Everest with him, didn't you?
The Annapurna Circuit, which is around Mount Everest, one of the ranges next to it. Yeah, we went up to the same height as base camp.
Yeah, good stuff. The CEO of Parkinson's SA, Olivia Nassarov, joins us now. Olivia, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good. Tell us about this walk. What's happening?
So Parkinson's Walkathon. It is on Unley Road at the Soldiers War Memorial Park on Sunday, and registration starts at 8:45. What we're going to do is a little bit of a circuit around Unley, escorted by SAPOL, and then we get back to the park where there's fun for the kids, pottery club, plant stalls, food, coffee, everything you could ever want.
So where do you park and where are you meeting in Unley?
Oh, well, you can park just next door at the Unley Shopping Centre, and we meet under the archway at the Soldiers War Memorial Park on the Sunday morning.
All right. Now, it is a fundraiser, so when people roll up, it's $70 for a couple or $35 for an individual. There are early bird registrations as well. Children under 18 are $15. So I just wanted to point that out because it is a fundraiser. Olivia, tell us about Parkinson's. I said in the intro, I don't think there is a cure at the moment, is there?
No, there's no known cure for Parkinson's, and we actually don't even know causation. And so we know that it's probably a very complex mixture of genetic and environmental factors.
Yeah, right. Now, with Mark Mickin, and not that he's special or you know, should be singled out as far as Parkinson's is concerned, but it just so happens that we know Mark. Now, he's undergoing some special treatment at the moment. Are you able to explain that to us?
Yeah, so Mark's actually having deep brain stimulation. So he's actually having kind of open brain surgery. He is going to get a device put into his brain, not dissimilar to a pacemaker that gets put in the heart. And that'll send, it's got leads going out to different parts of his brain, and that's going to send impulses out. Now, what it does is, I think that if people have seen Mark, they know that he has quite a significant tremor and a couple of other motor symptoms, like a shuffle in his walk and a bit of loss of balance. And DBS, deep brain stimulation, should actually improve those symptoms significantly.
Wow, I haven't heard of this before. How common is this? How many people get this sort of operation done? This is, you know, serious stuff.
Yeah, so unfortunately, only 10% of people with Parkinson's are actually eligible for the operation. So,
what do you mean by eligible?
Well, so there's certain factors that they have to meet up with. So there's many tests that Mark's had to go through. So he's gone through brain scans. He's gone through, you know, a psychiatric assessment and all of these kind of things. So only 10% of people are eligible. So, you know, those that are eligible usually go ahead with it because it gives them a bit of a honeymoon period where they're not suffering so much with their motor conditions, and also it can sometimes reduce the amount of medications that they have to take, therefore reducing the side effects from that medication.
And look, fundraising is super important for stuff like this. In 2019, Ditson, we still don't know what caused it. We don't know how to fix it. It's unbelievable. We know with MND and what the great work that Neil Danaher has done, Ditson, they actually have helped find some important
some
stuff
advances,
in the last 6 months. So when you're donating money this Sunday, if you're thinking about going in the walk, the money is critical. It's hard to get the funds to keep researching these diseases. So, yeah, it's very, very important.
Olivia, thanks for joining us so much. And just if you could, once again, just tell us about the times and where you can meet on Sunday.
Okay, so Parkinson's Walkathon, people can jump online to Parkinson's Walkathon 2019. It'll have the address and all the details there. If you can't make it, by all means, click on the donate button so you can support the cause. And if you can make it, then you can go through the registration online.
Fantastic. Thanks for joining us, Olivia.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
The CEO of Parkinson's SA, Olivia Nassaroff.
What a goal!
Ruined its overnight sports.
Crows tickets on sale now at tickettech.com.au.
We fly as one.
Myers, who loves to finish. Oh, finish he does.
It's 99 to 75. It was a comprehensive win after they were challenged for much of the second half. Geelong by 4 goals over Adelaide.
What do you make of it, Roo? Geelong did start well, kicked the first couple of goals, I think first 3 goals. But in the third quarter, as Bruce just said, the Crows did hit back and tried, I thought, very, very hard to get back into it. But it just didn't happen, did it?
No, Geelong were absolutely brilliant. So you got to give them full marks. Their defence was awesome. Their midfield was tough and fast. Their ball movement into the forward line was very, very controlled and hit their targets. The kicking was as good as it gets. And their pressure that their forwards were putting on when the ball hit the ground was as good as it gets. They were the best in the competition at that before last night, and they carried it on. Turn over to the Crows. They look hesitant. They look jumpy. They look a little bit unsure. Their skills have dropped away. That's the big thing I've noticed in the first few weeks of the year compared to what they were a couple of years ago. They're just not anywhere near 100%. Their forward line's not working, Dits.
How do you mean it's not working?
Well, it's just not linking up, is it? When they lead, they are getting pushed to areas of the ground you don't want them to lead to. You saw them taking marks 40 metres out near the boundary line. So they've got some headaches, Adelaide. There's absolutely no doubt about it. They're not dead. They're not broken. But they're not performing anywhere near 100%. So they need to train hard. They need to work hard. They need to face up to facts. The draw opens up a little bit. They play some sides that aren't as good coming up. And that is an opportunity for them to practice all the things that I just spoke about, get their confidence up, so when they start playing some good sides again, they improve. Yeah. Otherwise, they're not going to go anywhere.
Now, another bad injury. Don Pike here talking about Paul Seedsman.
No, unfortunately, that's the diagnosis at the moment. Looks like it's a suspected ACL, so that'll we'll get the scans and. He's shattered, as you can imagine.
Look, he's a very important player, very important. Hard to replace those hard-running, skillful midfielders, and on the back of Tom Duday, that is just an absolute disaster for Adelaide, but you can't do anything about it, Ditch. You just got to get someone else to try and fill the spot and make up for it.
All right, Port Adelaide have made 3 changes. Let's hear from Ken Hinckley.
There'll be 3 changes. We've obviously got 2 injuries, and we'll leave Toddy Marshall out and bring Sam Gray in. And we'll bring Dougal Howard in, as I said, with Ollie Wines. Basically, some risk, but we've been really cautious, been really careful. We've made sure we've waited. Probably could have played last week if we had a really pushed. We didn't want to take that risk. It's funny, isn't it? Because you go 7 days later, does it make much difference in something like that? It probably does make a bit of a difference. You watched him out there training. He's fine.
Dougal Howard in for Jack Watts. No surprise there. Ollie Wines back in for Carl Heyman. No surprise there. Sam Gray for Todd Marshall is a game plan change, Dits. They are going smaller.
Yep.
And every side that goes smaller is playing better football. I think it's a good move by Port Adelaide.
So every side going smaller, what there are stats to show that, are there? Or you're just saying as a general?
Richmond did it out of necessity 2 years ago, won the flag.
Okay.
Collingwood did it last year, nearly won the flag. And Geelong have gone smaller and they're putting the best forward line pressure on. I said to you, I thought we were going to be too top heavy if they had all their tools out there, and big Todd Marshall hasn't done much in the first couple of weeks. So going small, Sam Gray's a good player. He dominated last week in SNFL, so I think it's a good move.
All right, now, the story broke yesterday about the Melbourne Football Club. We'll cover this off in depth with our Melbourne reporter Tom Brown a little bit later on in the show, but that's not a good story. Hey, this week's match of the round in the NPL South Australia, Parry Hills Knights take on
West Adelaide, 3 p.m. tomorrow at the Paddocks. That's our look at sport.
Coming up next, the week that was.
Brew and Ditz here, all thanks to Distinctive Homes.
Yeah, the week that was, the highs and the lows.
The top five things we've learned on Roo and Ditz this week.
Number five.
Daily update from the Rusciutto household.
We learned you should never leave your phone lying around at the Rusciutto house.
Sarah's old man came running into the kitchen and said, my kids have been playing with my phone. We've got an ambulance on the way. What are you talking about, Mick? There's an ambulance on its way to our joint because one of the kids had rang 000 twice.
Then it was a case of who done it.
Automatically went to Nick first, and then he said, nah, Joe, no, I haven't done it. Rocco, he'd fallen asleep, apparently. I don't know if he was faking it or not. And Tom.
Never accused the girls of anything doing wrong.
No, they wouldn't do it. And Tom is addicted to phones. He was a candidate but couldn't talk, and they blame him anyway. So none of them put their hands up. And anyway, later on that night, we're having a bit of a cuddle on the lounge. And Rocco was laying on my lap, and I sort of just hit him up. Rocco, did you do it? Yeah, that was me. That was me. I said, okay.
So there is zero. The ambulance service right around Adelaide today, when they get in calls, they go, nah, it's just Rocco.
Rocco doesn't know there's a ramping issue at the moment.
Number four, we learned about a new segment on the show.
Get your finance first. It's the Ruin Ditz Financial Advice segment.
Labor are talking about getting rid of negative gearing. If negative gearing comes in, the market will definitely tank a bit more and we'll go backwards, I would think. Not that I'm a financial expert.
What about rent? I think that means rents go up.
Might be good if prices drop and, you know, they can get into the market. So there are some winners.
Yeah.
But there could be a few losers, I think.
One thing I know is if you're listening, don't take financial advice from Ruined It's at Triple M. Because we actually do not know.
Triple M management would like to inform listeners that the Ruined It's financial advice segment has been cancelled.
Perhaps take the time out of your very busy work week to seek some qualified
advice. That was
our advice.
Financial segment, sort of.
Okay. Maybe Koshy, maybe Ross Greenwood.
Go to someone like that. Pay an expert.
Even someone, you know, similar to Dennis DeNudo.
Dennis DeNudo.
It's the vibe.
He was a lawyer.
No, that's it. It's the vibe.
And a pretty bad one.
Our new catchphrase. You could go broke listening to us here on Triple M.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Number three. Roo got the guns out last Friday.
Have a look at him. He's come in. He's got a singlet on. The guns are out.
Well, we've got the strong man coming in here today. We've got the big fitness expo.
Are you going to take him on?
I'm taking him on. I don't care if he's twice as heavy as me and you.
Have a look at Roo this morning.
And we learnt he probably picked the wrong day to wear a singlet.
This is
I've
funny.
I've actually never been as embarrassing.
You've got here this morning in your muscle shirt. You're wearing your singlet. And Australia's strongest man's just walked in his muscle shirt. Makes you look like a toothpick.
Oh, God.
Jordan Stevens, good morning.
Good morning.
Limo weighed in.
You know what that muscle shirt's missing, Ditz?
Muscles. No.
Number two. We learnt there was a birthday at the Rusciutto house.
Who's that?
Me.
Is that you, Tom?
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Dad.
What did you get for your birthday this morning?
Anyway.
A what?
A train.
Even if it's family, Roo knows the importance of wrapping up a guest.
All right, we better get rid of him. He's lost. All right, Tommy, we'll see you a bit later, mate. Thanks, Sarah.
Bye.
Well done,
see
Sarah.
See you, Tom.
No, he's gone.
Number one. We learnt Tuesdays aren't that great.
Nah, they're nothing Tuesdays.
Can't wait for them to get over and done with.
Yeah, I agree. But nice day coming up, 27.
Yeah, we'll make the most of it.
Yeah.
Why would you waste an opportunity to have a crack for 24 hours?
But there is one good thing about Tuesdays.
Your favourite segment, Married at First Sight update.
Can't wait for that.
Oh,
what Mick Moy called it? I married a dickhead. That's what it's called.
That's right. The maths update from Alice.
Last night, Mark and Ning are on. Who are this couple?
Mark and Ning.
Ning, that's her name.
Right.
They're the only couple that haven't had special cuddles.
Right.
So it's been a bit awkward, and it's her that wants them, and he didn't.
Oh, right.
So,
Ning,
yeah.
Well, Ning wants to go. Ning.
Ning's hanging out. Ning.
Ning wanted to see his Nong.
Ning. Good update. No Nong for Ning. Ning.
The top five things we've learned on Ruin Ditz this week.
Has Ning had any Nong yet?
No, none
happening yet? Okay.
He dumped her.
He dumped her?
Yep. He left her at the altar.
Gone.
Ning.
No, Ning.
Ning Nong.
Ning gone.
Ning gone. Gonski. Righto.
Good day, Ditz.
Were they the highlights?
Ditz.
Yeah.
He got slammed by Mick Malloy.
For what?
I'm just going to tell you. We're going to play it next. He's had a crack at you. He doesn't like you. And he's potted you on national radio.
Can't wait to hear that. Righto, ruined it's on Triple M. Tom Brown, Triple M football reporter, joins us here. He's come over for the game last night. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Dits. Good morning, Roo.
Big story about the Melbourne Football Club released late yesterday. What can you tell us?
Well, the Herald Sun released this story. Mick Warner released this story yesterday afternoon. He's basically got the transcripts of 58 interviews from the Melbourne tanking investigation dating back to 2009, so it's over 10 years ago now. And there's got some incredible insight, if you like, into the situation at the time concerning guys like Dean Bailey, who was the coach, in particular the pressure that he was under. He reported in those interviews at the time that he was under pressure not to win more than four games and he could get sacked if he didn't. And it's incredible insight into the AFL's investigation, which, remember, at the time they concluded that there was no tanking on match day. In retrospect, that looks like a pretty optimistic assessment of what was going on.
It looks completely opposite to what came out in the transcripts. He was bullied into not winning games, players who were injured go and get operated on, play players out of position, leave players on the bench if they were sore. It is exactly what tanking is.
Exactly. And, I mean, at the time there was a culture where some clubs were, I guess, doing this in a managed type situation. So obviously the Cruiser Cup was famous, the Bryce Gibbs Cups was famous. The AFL, with their priority pick at the time, there was an incentive for clubs to do this. But I think in a colloquial sense, it's fair to say that Melbourne was taking the, so to speak.
Yeah. We know they were fined $500,000. They didn't lose any draft picks. Bailey got suspended, but he got suspended when he was actually at Adelaide. So it affected Adelaide more than Melbourne. It affected Dean Bailey. Now, if there's several people, administrators like Chris Connolly and others at Melbourne that did the bullying and pushed him into doing all these things, surely the AFL now have to investigate the investigators at the time or whoever made the decision, don't they? Or are you comfortable that the people at Melbourne who have supposedly pushed Dean Bailey have had the correct penalties?
I think there's been substantial change, Roo, since this took place. You've got completely new management at Melbourne these days. Gary Pertz, the CEO, Glenn Bartlett, the president. I know Josh Marnie was the forwards coach at the time, is now the footy manager. He's highly regarded in footy circles these days. Cameron Schwab was the CEO at the time. He's now got no longer any type of role in footy, basically. Chris Connolly doesn't have a big role in football at all, basically, apart from a media role. So I think Melbourne's changed substantially. So I don't think the AFL would investigate the investigation.
They're not going to investigate themselves.
They're not going to investigate themselves. Gil McLaughlin basically ran this investigation at the time.
So that'll be interesting then.
Well, hang on, just expand on that then.
In terms of whether the AFL would investigate the investigation.
Gil was second in charge.
Gil was second in charge at the time, basically put in charge of the investigation by Andrew Dimitriou at the time. And the AFL carefully managed the optics, as Gil likes to describe, of this investigation. They did the same thing with the Bombers.
They looked after him.
Looked after
because they were down the bottom of the table anyway, were they?
Yeah, they were down the bottom of the table. Jim Steins was incredibly sick at the time. Melbourne was basically a basket case.
They'd
done a lot of fundraising. They didn't want to bury them.
If they gave them draft picks, they would have been down for longer.
100%. So the AFL definitely managed that investigation at the time, just like they did the Bombers.
So have they been inconsistent here? We know the Crows got hit heavily over the Kurt Tippett situation. That's not tanking. It's different. I understand that. Carlton got hit very... Some people would argue Carlton have never recovered. So have Melbourne been let off here in a way?
I think that was always the criticism. I don't think they've been let off at all. I think the criticism at the time was that Melbourne had been singled out when other clubs were doing it. But other clubs, I think, were doing it in a much more managed fashion. I mean, I'm not in any way putting it on Roosie, but Roosie, for example, recently played players in certain positions to develop the team in a much more strategic and legal under the rules way. So this regime in this Melbourne era that conducted this just went way too far.
It's a bit smelly. It's a bit smelly for me.
I would hate to think, no matter where your team is on the ladder, that I pay good money for a membership and or a ticket to go through the turnstiles, that my team is out there not trying.
Yeah, I don't think they do it anymore, Dits. I think it's changed from that era. I think they were definitely trying to finish down the bottom, get priority picks and all that. They've been exposed. It doesn't happen anymore.
And I've spoken to the
Demons. They might go off and get operations early.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about
that. Everyone does that. Yep.
But,
so, Tom, will we hear any more of this, or is that the end of the investigation?
Yeah, I think Gil McLaughlin will probably speak to yesterday. They usually do some presses on a Friday, so we'll hear from the AFL. I think Melbourne will be very keen to distance themselves from this. Simon Goodwin will be very focused on tonight. Yeah. There's a new regime there. There's very much a winning culture there now. They'll be like, it's old. They've recovered and improved since then, and they've made substantial changes.
Oh, I smell a Caro's arrow happening here. I can smell Caro just going at this one hard.
Mm. All right. Good on you, Tom. Thanks for that.
Thanks, guys.
Tom Brown, Triple M football reporter. Pressure test time. Ring now. 1-3-3-5-3 if you want to win $1,000.
104.7 Triple M. Ruin Dids. $1,000 pressure test. Need a car service or repair? Zip Pay is now available at Automasters, giving you the option to fix now and pay later. Over 20 branches. Call 1-300-AUTOMASTERS.
You can't handle the pressure.
So it's got Rosie on for a golf game. Now he's got Mark Dittmar from Port Adelaide. G'day, Mark.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Yeah,
boys?
Good, Mark. What are you up to today?
I am just on my way driving to work at Rebel Sport.
Right.
Rebel Sport. Whereabouts? Which one?
So I'm down at Rebel Sport at Norlunga Centre.
From right. Port Adelaide to Norlunga?
Absolutely. Wow. So I do need some petrol money, please.
Right. How long does that take every day?
It's about 45 minutes if I get a good run.
Wow.
Wow. All right. Well, at least you've got a good job, mate. Rebel Sport are a good company and out selling a bit of sporting gear over the weekend. Beautiful.
Yeah. All right, Mark, here we go. 30 seconds, 10 correct answers, 10 things you wear on your head.
And a cobra, a beanie, a beret.
What was that one?
Beret.
Keep going.
A beret?
Yep.
Helmet.
Yep.
Yep.
Cowboy hat. Spring glasses. A wig.
Yeah.
Where on your head?
Gee, Mark, you were doing well. We could have gone anywhere. We could have gone shower caps and earrings and glasses.
One, two, three, four, five, six. Correct.
Well done, Mark. Good try. Good try, mate. Enjoy your drive down to Norlunga.
$50 voucher to go to Automasters for your next service there, Mark. Zip Pay also available for your service. Over 20 branches, call 1-300-AUTOMASTERS.
Not far away from Limo joining us for a laugh. We've got the week that was. But up next, we're doing a quiz, Dits.
Yeah, Alice the Wag. Of course, I won't say too much about Alice the Wag and her IQ. Because it's very high. Because it's very high. And she's about to put some big words to us, apparently, and we have to work out what they are. I'm looking forward to this segment.
I don't want to do it.
Right. Ruined Dits on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for breakfast.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome...
Lehman.
Yeah.
I'm Anthony Lehman.
Oh, good morning, Liam, on this Friday. How are you?
Oh, great to be with you guys. I love joining you at the end of a week on a Friday when you two are just up and about.
Oh, yeah.
Well, one of us is.
Yeah. I'm going to be later on. When I forget about the Crows.
Roo, tough night in the office last night, Roo.
Oh, thanks, Lemo.
For the Crows.
Thanks for your support, Lemo.
I don't want to get stuck into you after a loss. I do want to mention
I'm not.
It was a tough night in the office, and, you know, that's... But what I do want to mention is just one thing, and that's, what was very genuinely very sad news last night was Paul Seedsman doing what seems to be an ACL.
Yeah, very sad.
The Crows have had way too much bad luck in that regard in the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to mention the bloke who was driving the car.
Oh, he
went out and picked him up. I mean, seriously, he could not have been 14 years old, that kid. Is he on work experience with the Crows, or what's going on there?
If he is on work experience, he should never get a job ever again because he took forever to get off. He didn't have his GPS on. He took the longest route to get off the oval.
If he grows up to be a taxi driver, he's going to make a fortune.
He'll make a fortune.
Take you the long way home.
Yeah, I tell you what, he tried to drive it up the race of the Crows race. It was hilarious. BT was going bananas on Triple M. But, he had it in first gear. He took forever to get off. He was like one of those streakers that just kept getting away from everyone and you couldn't do anything about it. He should have been on RBT and they should have swabbed him, Limo. It was incredibly bad.
It took him that long to find his final destination. He'll make an excellent Uber driver one day.
He will be making
that,
that wagon, whatever you call it, it's gone in for a service today because it's done that much work since the weekend. There was Erin Phillips.
Yeah.
There was the
Chloe Shear.
Yeah, Chloe Shear. Then last night. Yeah, it's in for a grease and oil change.
It's had a very big week. Very big week.
It has done a lot of case. Hey, the other massive story this morning is the Melbourne tanking story, which we kind of knew, but there's a few more elements added to the story. I mean, a couple of things I've read today that just made it blindingly obvious that they were tanking back in 2009. It was when they sang the club song after a loss at the end of the year. I thought that was a bit much.
Trying to go a little bit too far.
they even had a couple of debutantes in the circle throwing Gatorade on them after a loss.
Like to tank the worst, you mean?
And when it was when they ran out for that last game of the year and the banner read, as they ran through the banner, we'll be out of position and we won't be quick, because today we're playing for a priority draft pick. And I thought, they've even got it written on their banner there.
Limo, have you heard the breaking story this morning?
What's that?
Well, the Crows are being accused of tanking now.
No. You have just jinxed yourself. You are getting rolled in Brisbane.
I'm not sure about this, bloody hell.
I can't believe he's just thrown a hand grenade from the other side of the desk.
And remember, last week, Ditz was very keen to not get ahead of himself last week. Very keen.
Got off the chain. After we thrashed Carlton, I've moved on.
The bloody wooden spoon of the tankers themselves. Port are going so well at the moment.
Port are travelling beautifully.
We've beaten two clubs, one the accused of tanking and one that we think are tanking. We've beaten Melbourne and Carlton.
And Carlton, there we go. But in Carlton's defence, they've said that no other team has tanked since 2009. And Carlton fans have gone, oh, really?
Are we
actually this bad?
Yeah. It's real.
This is disgraceful. As Melbourne, though, they tanked. They ended up with Jack Trengove and Tom Scully. Jack Trengove, injury issues, barely played. Tom Scully buggered off to GWS. Yeah. So it was all worthwhile. Well done, Melbourne.
No, they haven't quite hit the mark, the D's.
No, they haven't. And finally there, guys, you were talking this morning about South Australia losing business.
Yes, this is the story where 100,000 nurses' uniforms have been lost to a company.
Ditz wanted to make them.
Yeah. We're just measuring them all up, yeah.
Right, this project's in its third year, Chris. Why is it taking so long? No wonder it's gone overseas.
He's trying to save on material.
I got the word tender confused as well, as they said.
Move on.
No, that's not a nurse's outfit. That's a Bunnings outfit, Chris.
Is that how we lost it?
That's how you lost it. I don't know why they've got bunny ears on there. Anyway, but I've got the reverse of that. I've got a really great South Australian business story. If you read this in the news just this week, that Fruchox are now being sold nationally through Big W stores. Yeah.
Who would have thought? Sell your gear outside of South Australia if you want to make a dollar.
I'm adventurous. People who know me in South Australia know that I'm a Fruchox fanatic, and you just can't buy them in Melbourne.
Well, we're just going to get a truck straight to your joint, mate.
I should be organising delivery once a week.
We're going to get that ambulance drive Adelaide over to bring you over.
Oh, great. I look forward to getting my Fruchox in 2045.
We go by Perth.
They'll be off by then. I tell you what. I do love some Fruchox. I said to my wife, I said, you know what? I said, you could lock me in solitary confinement. If I had Fruchox, red wine, and a video of Hawthorne's three-peat, I could stay there forever. And she said to me, oh, no mention of your wife or your son. I go, actually, sorry, good point.
Yeah, good point.
You guys can visit me.
All right, Limo.
Have a good one, you guys.
Yeah, see you, Limo.
Ruined it's on Triple M. Doing it for distinctive homes, a step ahead of the rest. See their displays at Lights View, Andrews Farm, new homes at Virginia Grove and Rue. I'm told that the favourite at the moment on social media is the Boston Loft at Lights View.
Well,
there you go.
Better head out there and have a look on the weekend. I think Billy Brownless is a very funny man, Ditz.
Yeah, he is.
He's a very funny man, but he's stooped to new lows when he's stealing gags from us.
Damo and Naif in the house. Bill's here, of course. Yay. Lots of footy to discuss. Got just a couple of grabs. Firstly, we talked about Don Pike saying Sam Jacobs is out, and then Bill said, yeah, the sauce is out and he's being replaced by Tabasco. And then we were told on social media that that's a gag he directly ripped off from Breakfast Radio in Adelaide, to which he denied. He said, no, I made the gag up. So let's hear from Breakfast Radio.
Big Sauce, not playing.
No, he's out. He's out. We'll put Tabasco in. Young Sauce.
Young Sauce,
yes.
Come on, Bill.
So there's Mark Ricciuto going with that.
Is that your laughter, Bill?
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked it. You're actually on the air at the time.
And he stole it.
I didn't realise you were that close.
Open theft of another man's joke.
I can't believe that someone listens to Adelaide Breakfast and then listens to us. How does that work?
So there's that
actually,
one.
See, I can't believe someone listened to Adelaide Breakfast.
That's good, Bill. Oh, that's a low act, Bill.
Oh, unbelievable. He is in trouble if he's stealing gags from us, Billy Brownless. But he did.
Yep.
We're going to dissect the Crows. Poor performance last night.
Brew and Dits, top three things you need to know.
8:44, these are the big stories we're following this morning. Christopher Pine.
Yeah, had his farewell speech in Parliament yesterday.
In a few weeks, my political career comes to an end. I don't have a log cabin story like so many people in this place. Although I once did have to get my own lemon for a gin and tonic, which I'm... Finally, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to thank my colleagues on all sides of the House. I once described the House of Representatives as being my natural habitat. You're all my fellow species in this unnatural place. This place brings out the best of us and it brings out the worst in us. I've seen some truly dreadful people come through here over the last quarter of a century, Mr. Speaker. That's true, though. But I've seen so many more outstanding people, Mr. Speaker, including my current colleagues. I've relished the opportunity to attempt great deeds in the one forum that in our democracy allows every Australian the chance to do so, the House of Representatives. Thank you, goodbye and good luck.
Very emotional. We talked about the fact this morning, Roo, that people from both sides of politics embraced him this morning or yesterday. The Labor front bench were all hugging him and shaking his hand. So in the hurly-burly world, the bustling world of politics, there's still some admiration from both sides.
I think you have to admire him. I think he's been great at his job. He's been awesome for South Australia. And the legacy he's leaving with a $50 billion submarine deal has been sensational. So good luck to Christopher Pine and... whatever he's going to do
life
in the future.
To come. Yeah. You were telling me this morning I need to buy a tree.
Yeah, trees are very expensive, Dits. The Burnside Council has valued their trees at Hazelwood Park at $8.7 million worth.
Hell.
Yeah, big gum trees. They're saying trees make your land worth more money, and you can understand that. People like mature gardens and mature trees. So, yeah, if you want to get your house values up, put some nice trees in and fertilize them and get them going.
So whack a big gum tree in your front yard?
Well, leafy eastern suburbs. I mean, you've heard that expression.
Yeah. No, it's no fluke. It's not by coincidence.
No, that's right.
No.
Hey, Ditch, you got a drive-by yesterday.
What do you mean?
Kennedy and Malloy. Bang. Ditmar, go on.
Princess has tweeted and said, hasn't Mick Malloy done a runner on an ex-AFL footballer come publican in Adelaide?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't you run from Mark Ricciuto's pub?
Roo.
What'd you do?
Pub.
I remember, there's still IOU stickers up everywhere at that time.
I didn't pay my bar bill. That's right.
Oh, you did a runner
I didn't pay
from
my
there.
Bar bill.
Hey, Rui.
No, that's what, by the
don't
way.
Don't worry, he'll come back.
He's working out of the moment, too. Customer. Him and Ditz, they're doing a
he's tough.
Doing a
him
workout.
And Ditz.
Yeah, him and Ditz.
How can Ditz do a workout with a glass of red in one hand? What, would he take it out for his workout? He used to play squash with a glass of red in one hand.
That's my kind of workout.
He is hopeless. He is see past his little pot belly.
Trending now as a subject.
He's one of the great athletes. Of the
don't
world.
Bring him Chris down. Yeah. Don't bring him down.
And to see him now, it's sad.
No, don't say that.
To get back in the shape.
Oh, you're tough.
Shape. He's like he's on one of those motorised scooters.
He's not.
He gets to work. He does.
I saw a video the other day. Hopeless. Him and Roo working out.
I tell you what.
Don't upset him.
I'd take Ditz on at squash right now.
Would you? Why do you do
play that's stupid.
He thinks you're going like Bob Francis.
I'm only halfway there.
Unfair by Mick.
Well, I end up in late night talk back just squash, rubbishing Mick. People. Like,
he plays.
He does a couple of times a week.
Why don't you take him on and teach him a lesson, Dits? He hasn't seen the new improved Dits.
How would I feel if he had a heart attack and died on me or something?
Well, if you can't enter the heat, that's what happens. So,
now, Rue, have you got a tip for us? You got one at the, a winner at the races?
I am overdue.
No, I know
tipping,
you are.
My tipping is like the Adelaide Crows performances at the moment. Very rusty.
All right, we'll get a tip from Rue in just a moment. Rue and Dits on Triple M.
Automasters offers return Uber rides to home or work while servicing your car. On Rue and Dits for breakfast.
Hello.
Get it straight from the horse's mouth.
I'm Mr. Ed.
It's time for Rue's tip of the week.
Righto, you are under the pump.
I'm under the pump like Don Pike here at the moment. I'm zipped from two the last 2 weeks. I thought I was going to win last week.
Mm.
Did you?
Yes. But
it didn't. It didn't run on. It's a bit like the Crows in the last quarter. Adelaide, I'm looking at race six. It's a horse that's first up tomorrow.
Yep.
Celtic Blast. That's got barrier 14, which is a bit of a risk. But I hope it jumps and I hope it goes to either the lead. If it leads, I reckon it'll win. If it sits outside the lead, I reckon it's a good chance of winning over 1,000 metres. You can get each way odds at $5.50. I'm having a bet each way on Celtic Blast, Adelaide Race 6, number 2.
All right, let's hope it gets up. Let's quickly, and that's thanks to Wardo Masters, let's quickly go through the games, Roo.
Melbourne and Essendon tonight.
Oh, I've got to go Melbourne.
I'm going Melbourne. Yep. GWS take on Richmond in Western Sydney.
GWS.
I'm going for GWS. Carlton take on Sydney in Melbourne.
Carlton. Thought they were good last week.
Yeah, I'm going for Sydney. They could win Carlton. Brisbane take on the Power.
Port.
Brisbane. Collingwood v West Coast in Melbourne.
Collingwood.
Collingwood. Hawthorn take on the Kangaroos.
Hawthorn.
Yeah, I'm going for Hawthorn too. West Coast take on Gold Coast.
Where's that?
Oh, sorry. Western Bulldogs take on Gold Coast.
In Melbourne?
Yep.
Bulldogs.
Yeah, I'm going for the Dogs. And Freo take on the Saints in Perth.
Frio
for me too.
Some good games there.
Yeah, good round. And good luck to the Power Dits. Hope
Thank you.
Have a win up there.
Yeah, I know you mean that.
I know, I really mean it.
Yep. All right, have a good weekend.
Have a great weekend, everyone. Enjoy the weather today. Are we ever going to hear Bruin Dits
again? Monday morning at 6 a.m. Are we ever... Don't miss a minute of Bruin Dits for breakfast on our podcast. Thanks to Distinctive Homes. Designing and creating your dream home. DistinctiveHomes.com.au 104.7 Triple M.